coming to you from deep inside the bowels of a great big empty. Get ready for another episode of The Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
And that was Golden Glenn, the official announcer of The Home Defense Show, and I'm your host, Skip Coriel, author of 22 books, Marine Corps veteran, founder of the Second Amendment March, proud father of seven, grandfather to 19 and counting. And as a special bonus, I'm also madly in love with my own wife. My priorities in life are God, family, and country in that order, and I hereby promise to never compromise in my convictions. I may go broke, but I'll never go woke. All right, folks, we got a great show for you today. First, we'll speak with criminal defense attorney Jim Makowski about the criminal justice system and what to expect should you be charged with a crime in self-defense incident. Then we'll be speaking with Rod Yoder in our ShootingClasses.com self-defense report, where we get some expert advice on the details of self-defense. But before we get too far into the show, let's thank our sponsors, United States Concealed Carry Association, ShootingClasses.com, and CenterShot Indoor Gun Range. All right, having a great week. The weather is fantastic out there. Here in Southwest Michigan, we've got 50 degrees and sunny in March. Oh, that is just an awesome time. Having a great time with my family, working on a new book right now. I'm over halfway through another novel. I'll tell you that the title is Never Ending Grit. And of course, it's an apocalyptic adventure like all my others, but this one's different. I won't tell you how it's different. It's just different. But I think that you'll like it. So I need to get busy working on that and get that one finished. I'd like to get that out in the next month or so. Okay, I was teaching class this past Saturday, not a big class, about 15 or so students. And in my class, I always talk about scenarios, right? And I just throw out this one scenario. I say, okay, let's just say you're walking down the sidewalk and a man jumps up from behind a dumpster, points a gun at your face and says, hey, give me your cell phone, give me your wallet. And then we just go over the answers that people give me and we kind of armchair quarterback it and say, okay, what'd you do right? What'd you do wrong? What should you do differently next time? That kind of a thing, right? Visualization. But in this particular class, a guy raised his hands and he says, that happened to me. I said, really? Because that's kind of unusual. I said, well, tell me about it. He says, well, I was walking down the road and a guy come up to me, pointed a gun at me, said, give me your cell phone, in your wallet. And I said, well, what did you do? And he says, well, I laughed at him, told him to go to hell, and then I turned around and started to walk away. I thought, well, that's really unusual. It's kind of a gutsy move, too. But I said, okay, well, what happened? What did he do? The student said, well, he shot me in the butt. And I know I shouldn't laugh about that, but, it's just something about the idea of getting shot in the butt that just makes me laugh. My student, he didn't laugh. He got shot in the butt. And then he got robbed anyways. So I just asked him, I said, well, what did you learn by that experience? And he said, if it happens to me again, I'm going to do it a little differently. And I said, well, how's that? He said, if someone points a gun at me, I'm going to assume that it's a real gun, that the gun is loaded, and that they're willing to shoot me. I always took that for granted, but apparently not everyone does. I've heard that before from students. They'd say, because the guy's pointing a gun at you doesn't mean he's going to shoot you. And I guess my thought is that's kind of naive and you're taking a huge risk with your own life when you just disregard someone who's pointing a gun at you. You have to assume that it's loaded. You have to assume at least the possibility that he's going to press the trigger and your life could end. So that was a first for me in class. But I just want to encourage all of you, if someone points a gun at you and threatens you with death or serious bodily injury, you need to take that person seriously. And, I was doing a little bit of research on that. I just thought, how often do people get shot in the butt anyways? And so I just did a internet search, man shot in the butt, right? And man, I came up with 10 pages of people getting shot in the butt. So just hundreds and hundreds of people. Man shot in the butt flags down Georgia State University officer. Man shot found in buttocks, not cooperating with police. Man shot in buttocks while driving on I-35 South. You can see that one on YouTube. Man shot in butt, taken to hospital in Harrison Township. Daphne PD, man shot in buttocks and the leg during altercation. Police investigating after man shot in buttocks. Monroe County Sheriff searching for Steinsville man for a man who reportedly shot his neighbor in the butt. And it just goes on and on and on and on. And then just kind of like on a whim, I did a search on, okay, that was men. Let's search on woman shot in the buttocks, right? And I come across this one. This is bizarre, folks. Woman enters MRI machine with a gun and gets shot in the butt. A 57-year-old woman was shot in the buttocks by her own gun when she took it into a magnetic resonance imaging machine while she was having a test, and the weapon was grabbed up by the machine's magnet, causing the gun to go off. Now, I don't know if you've ever had an MRI before, but I have. I hate them. I hate those things. They're super loud. It's claustrophobic. But I just can't grasp the idea of someone being so unintelligent that they would carry a metal gun inside a magnetic resonance imaging machine, an MRI machine. I'm just amazed. The incident happened in June, was sent to the Food and Drug Administration as an adverse event report. Fortunately, the injury was reported as minor. You know, I guess, folks, if I had to be shot someplace, and let's say someone gives you a choice, okay, you know, I'm going to shoot you in the head, in the chest, or in the butt. You get to choose. I would choose the butt, okay? But man, there's some nasty things that can happen to you when you get shot in the butt. I mean, obviously there's pain. There's a lot of, you know, muscle down there, maybe some fat, depending on how fat your butt is. But, you know, you get enough penetration, you can go through, right on through and hit the hip joint. You can get hit major arteries down there. Cause some real skeletal damage. Boy, if it's in the center, there goes your tailbone. You know, and just all kinds of other items that you don't want to get hit. But man, I tell you, those butt shots are rough. Maybe I should make some targets. Have some targets made up with giant butts. You know, shoot for center of exposed buttocks. Maybe I shouldn't do that, actually. But anyways, I thought that, to me, that was a little bit entertaining, although sad. But people do die from being shot in the butt. So cover your butt, okay? Be careful. All right. Enough entertainment. Let's get on with the show. All right, folks, please write me and tell me what you think. You can email me at skip@homedefenseshow.com. All right, listeners, if you want to learn how to protect yourself and your loved ones, then you need to check out our sponsor, United States Concealed Carry Association. Just go to uscca.com and see how they can help you protect and defend the ones you love. This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Coming up next, we'll be interviewing criminal defense attorney Jim Makowski about the criminal justice system. Then we'll be speaking with Rod Yoder from the great state of Ohio in our shootingclasses.com self-defense report. In the meantime, God bless and stay safe. And please don't take your guns around strong magnets. We'll be right back.
Some say his face is painfully ugly, and I agree. But who cares? This is radio. Welcome back to the Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
And that was a beautiful and sultry voice of Golden Glenn, the official announcer of the Home Defense Show. All right, listeners, before we go too far into the show, don't forget to check out our sponsors, United States Concealed Carry Association, ShootingClasses.com, and CenterShot Indoor Gun Range for all your training and equipment needs. Now I'd like to welcome a friend of mine to the show. He's criminal defense attorney Jim Makowski. Jim, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Glad to be out here, Skip.
Jim, I know you're busy, so I appreciate you you coming on the show. There are just so many things that I don't know about the criminal justice system, and I guess I'm thankful for that, because if I knew a lot about it, I'd either be a lawyer or I'd have a rap sheet, so I depend on you. But before we get going too far, why don't you just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, your credentials, what you do, that kind of thing.
Sure. I'm a criminal defense attorney. I have been licensed to practice law 24 years now.
Wow.
It seems like yesterday. I specialize in self-defense and any use of a firearm where one might be charged criminally. I'm the corporation counsel for Michigan Gun Owners Incorporated. I've been involved in a lot of Second Amendment litigation from a civil rights perspective. I helped USCCA with their Michigan Concealed Pistol Licensing Training Program. If anyone takes a USCCA training class in the state of Michigan, they will be watching a video with regard to the legal portion that I prepared.
Now, Jim, what do you like about being a defense attorney, and what do you not like about it?
So before I found my niche, I had problems with it. I would take on just about any case there was, and anything to make a buck, right? Well,
right.
I kind of focused my practice more in this area for the last several years. And usually I hear attorneys complaining about their clients and, oh, they're scumbags. Oh, I can't believe he did this. For the most part, my clients are somebody who's had one bad day, But they're overall good people. And I'm fortunate in that respect, because my clients, for the most part, are just that. The people who had one bad day, they've made some stupid mistake, or they haven't made a mistake at all, and they're just being charged because of the grinding of the wheels of justice or injustice.
For me personally, if I was a lawyer and I had to defend someone that I just knew was a terrible scumbag, I would just have a problem with that. But I know everyone is entitled to legal representation and all of that, but I think it would make me miserable if I had to defend someone when I knew that they were guilty and that they should go to prison. Has that ever bothered you?
That's one of those philosophical arguments or discussions you have in law school. I've had some clients I've had absolutely no sympathy for, charged with some heinous crimes, and they try to befriend me. And I said, I will do a good job for you. I will do everything in my power to control the situation and reduce the consequences. We're not going to be friends. Had that happen more than on one occasion.
How do you feel about handling Second Amendment cases? Because I know you do a lot of that, especially in the state of Michigan. In the state of Michigan here, anytime there is a law that gets passed that needs to be challenged in court or something like that pertaining to the Second Amendment or gun rights, it's like you're always in the middle of it. How do you like that part of your job?
It's kind of a love-hate relationship, Skip, because I'm out there trying to protect people's rights, whether they agree with it on its face. Some laws they may think make good sense, and in reality, they don't. So I enjoy doing it. At the same time, I resent having to do it. You know, there's certain cases that I take that I'll take them, but I resent having to take them just because I think the law is so horrible.
Oh, okay.
Example that comes immediately to mind is when someone has an expired concealed pistol license, they get pulled over for a traffic stop, and they realize their license expired 3 days ago, and they get charged with a 5-year felony for having a concealed pistol license that's expired, and they get charged with carrying a concealed weapon. I do a good job on those cases. I take care of those cases. At the same time, I resent having to do them because I don't feel that people should face that charge for letting a license slip, failing to pay a $115 fee.
This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show, and we're speaking with criminal defense attorney Jim Makowski. Jim, I got to tell you, that happened to me 4 years ago, and I didn't even realize it had expired. I just happened to look down at my permit, and it had been expired for a week. I stopped carrying immediately and went ahead and renewed right away, but it's easy to do. It's just something that happens. There are 29 states now that have constitutional carry. How do you feel about permitless carry? Do you come down for or against?
I absolutely come down for permitless carry. I think it should be constitutional carry. Now, I'm not saying that there shouldn't be some training. I think if you're a responsible gun owner who wants to carry a firearm in self-defense, that you have an obligation to yourself and to the rest of the community to have some training. But I don't think that training should absolutely be required to be able to carry a gun. I think that is a right that is preserved in the Constitution, and I don't think there should be fees associated with it. And that's really it. I think it should be allowed. There should not be a throttle on our constitutional rights.
You know, I pretty much feel the same way. You know, I'm a Second Amendment advocate. So how can you be a Second Amendment activist and not treat it like a constitutional right? You know, it's like we already have to ask the government permission for almost everything in our entire lives. But I'm also an instructor, too. So it's like, yeah, everyone should be able to carry like the founding fathers meant it to be. But at the same time, I want to encourage everyone to, you know, learn how to handle the gun safely and also what the laws are. Because, you know, I was just speaking with a gentleman today from a constitutional carry state, and he said one of the problems that they run into is training isn't required, so people don't take the time, do their due diligence to find out when they can actually use their gun in self-defense, and some people get themselves in trouble. So, you know, that's where I come down on it. I'm all for it. I'm going to work hard for it. I hope we get it here in Michigan. But man, I'll still have to advocate for training.
Well, Michigan gun laws are bizarre. They're very hard to understand. Most attorneys do not understand them. Most judges do not understand them. I've had many calls over the years from judges who don't understand the convoluted laws here. They want a simple explanation. So I explain to the judges when they're making a case, you know, they're reviewing a case, exactly what this law means. And a lot of these judges are shocked about how convoluted the laws are.
Well, I feel the same way. Jim, we're about out of time for this segment, but I want to talk about that more in this next segment. Can you stick around for the next segment?
Sure.
This is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show, and we're speaking with criminal defense attorney Jim Makowski. Stay tuned because we've got more great stuff. Coming up next, we'll continue our conversation with criminal defense attorney Jim, and then he'll shed more light on the criminal justice system. During the break, go ahead and get out into the sunshine and shovel some dirt. Dig a hole 4 feet by 4 feet by 4 feet, and then ask yourself, why am I digging this hole? Of course, the answer is you're getting your body back into shape because a healthy, fit person fights better and is harder to kill. Then grab some ice cold water. We will be right back.
Avoid danger, save lives, and keep your loved ones safe. If this sounds good to you, you sound good to me. And I'd like to help you do those things. Avoid danger, save lives, and keep your loved ones safe. If you're looking for more excitement in your life, we have nothing to offer you. But if you are a thoughtful, responsible, nonviolent man or woman, we'd love to teach you what to do if something crazy happens. More importantly, we'd like to teach you what not to do. We currently have over 500,000 members. They are doctors and single moms and firemen and grandmothers and veterans and Democrats and Republicans and members of every faith. But the one thing they all have in common is that they know exactly what to do if something crazy happens. When you're with one of our members, you are safe. Our members know how to de-escalate situations. They know how to calm things down. We are the United States Concealed Carry Association. See what we're all about at usconcealedcarry.com. Discover the little-known backstory of the U.S. Concealed Carry Association at usconcealedcarry.com.
The mere sound of his voice makes women swoon and men storm the gates of hell. Welcome back to the Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Home Defense Show. I'm your host, Skip Coriel. And now let's continue our conversation with criminal defense attorney Jim Makowski. Jim, Michigan gun laws, there's a lot of them. And I think our governor and our state legislature would like to give us even more gun laws if they thought they could get them through. You know, one of my peeves is I just hate the immediate disclosure law that we have here in the state of Michigan. I don't see the point of it. I really, really don't. I mean, police officers are trained to assume that when they make a traffic stop, they assume that the person that they're pulling over might be armed and that they need to be ever vigilant. But it just seems to be a law that gets people in trouble. Because I know I have forgotten to tell police officers before. I've watched my wife forget. And a lot of people just forget to inform the police officer because they're nervous or whatever. What do you think about that law? And are there other gun laws here in Michigan that really just, you know, torque your tush?
The immediate disclosure law is abused and it's absurd. Most states do not have that. I think you're waiving some constitutional rights when you have to disclose. And I've seen instances where it was absolutely abused. I had a case many years ago. This cop took exception to how fast my client was driving through the area, pulled over, started yelling at him for how fast he was going. My client said, "I'm sorry, I didn't realize the speed limit. And oh, by the way, I'm carrying." And because the first words out of his mouth were not, "I'm carrying, I've got a concealed pistol license and I'm carrying," because those were not the first words he uttered, he got charged.
Wow.
Just abusive.
What was the outcome of that case?
I got it dismissed, but he shouldn't have had to be charged to begin with. When you're stopped by the police, you interrupt them. You tell them, even if they're on a rant, you disclose.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're raised to be polite, it's hard to interrupt someone, especially a police officer.
But if you don't, then you run the risk of getting charged for no good reason.
Fortunately, I think most police officers want to do the right thing and they don't want to abuse your civil rights. But there's always that 10%. Do you have any stories on, like, the law enforcement from hell?
Well, there are certain counties in Michigan where the repercussions of your actions, if you get caught with a CCW charge with the expired license, I cannot tell you how many people I've represented who had expired CPLs. I managed to get them reduced to misdemeanors on all but one occasion. And one particular county, they wouldn't do it. And my poor guy, who was 38 years old, suffering from lack of sleep, because he had a newborn baby at home, had forgotten to renew it because his wife had been bedridden, on his way home from work, allegedly rolled a stop sign, was pulled over. Guy was on his church's security team, went through some training to be on his church security team, and he got pulled over, and he's a convicted felon now. Because that county absolutely would not give him a break, no matter what I tried to do. And I actually had him testify before a Senate subcommittee. I had him testify before the Senate Judiciary Committee to try to get this law changed. And elections have consequences. We couldn't do anything about it. And the poor guy's convicted felon now.
Wow, that is terrible. This is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show. And we're speaking with criminal self-defense attorney Jim Makowski. Jim, CPL holders that lose their permit or that just get in trouble, what do they get in trouble the most for? What are the things that all of us need to watch out for?
The most frequent one is drunk driving, implied consent. If you get pulled over for drunk driving, even if you don't have your firearm on you, you're looking at a 3-year CPL suspension. There are 68 or 72, I can't recall at this point. I know there were 68 misdemeanors that would cost your concealed pistol license for either 3 or 8 years. And some of them are quite bizarre, but that happens all the time. I represent a lot of people who are charged with something non-firearms related, but they're concerned about maintaining their firearms rights. And mm-hmm. that's a frequent category of my client too.
It just seems like when it comes to drinking and carrying or drinking and driving, it gets a lot of people in trouble because I don't know. It's like, how are you supposed to know that you've had too much to drink, or how do you know when enough is enough? It just seems like maybe the safest thing is, listen, if you're carrying a gun, just don't even have one drink. But where do you fall on that one?
I tell my students, if you're carrying a firearm, you're not drinking. If you're drinking, you're not carrying a firearm, period.
Yeah.
The blood alcohol level for alcohol while you're carrying a firearm is 0.02. That is basically one drink. The 0.08 limit for drunk driving, you know, frankly, I think that might be a little bit low, but that's a whole other argument. Basically, it's zero tolerance while you're carrying a firearm. If your blood alcohol level is 0.10 or above, and you have your pistol on you, you're banned for a concealed pistol license for your lifetime.
Well, so where do you see things going? I'm talking about your home state of Michigan now, my home state. Where do you see gun rights going over the next couple of years? Because I know we just had like a three laws just passed, and I think they're trying to get some more gun restrictions passed. What do you think is going to happen in the next 2 years?
I think that they're going to do their best to further restrict our gun rights. They're going to remove your ability to be armed while at a polling place. A lot of these laws that have been passed, I believe, are not constitutional and are ripe for challenge. And I'm glad to say I'm going to be participating in those challenges. But I don't know where we're going, Skip, but I just feel it's downhill. Elections have consequences. And starting in 2018, Michigan started going downhill. The midterms were not kind to us. I'm hoping that that everyone remembers what happened here when they go to the polling places in November.
I hope so too, because I don't know, some consequences are more than we should have to bear. And I just feel like this isn't my state anymore. I mean, I was born and raised here. I've lived in Michigan for 65 of my 66 years. And it's like, I don't recognize it anymore. It's very frustrating for me because this is my home and I don't want to give it up. I want to fight till, you know, the very end, but I don't know. I don't know if the elections are secure. I don't know how honest people are, or are they just plain stupid? I just don't know.
You know, I don't recognize the state either, Skip. And I've thought more than once about moving on and finding a place that has a better political climate, but you're right. It's our home state. We want to fight for it. And I don't recognize the state from 20 years ago, even a decade ago. We're in a totally different place and it's not good. You know, I would just encourage people to join one of the statewide Second Amendment groups and, you know, offer your support. If you're going to support us financially in our fight against these new laws, it would be greatly appreciated. Actually, I favor Michigan Gun Owners, migunowners.org, but also Michigan Open Carry and Michigan Coalition for Responsible Gun Owners are participating in the fight. We can use your help.
Absolutely. You know, I agree with that. I'm a member of all of those organizations, you know, plus USCCA and the NRA and just everybody. That's what it takes these days to protect your God-given rights. So that's what we'll do, Jim.
We can't count on any politicians in Lansing to protect our rights at this point.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, Jim, I want to thank you for being on the Home Defense Show today.
Thanks for having me on, Skip.
All right, this is Skip Coriel on Home Defense Show. Coming up next, we'll have our self-defense report with Rod Yoder of the great state of Ohio, brought to you by ShootingClasses.com. During the break, go ahead and check out our sponsors, United States Concealed Carry Association at USCCA.com, Centershot Indoor Gun Range at CentershotGunRange.com, and ShootingClasses.com. After that, go ahead and do some dry fire practice, but make sure the gun is unloaded and there's no ammo in the room. God bless and stay safe. We will be right back.
Firearms training should be easy. Instructors can focus on teaching and not worry about all the complex paperwork and management behind the scenes. Just pull the trigger and let us do the administrative work. Welcome to shootingclasses.com.
At Center Shot Gun Range, we are passionate about training. Don't know where to start? We offer a one-hour new shooter seminar to introduce you to the world of firearms and help you find training opportunities specific to you. Concealed carry, home defense, firearm safety, AR-15, private one-on-one training, custom training, or maybe you're on a security team looking to protect your church or business. We even offer weekday morning and evening classes. Center Shot Gun Range has you covered. Start your journey at centershotgunrange.com.
Firearms training should be easy. Instructors can focus on teaching and not worry about all the complex paperwork and management behind the scenes. Just pull the trigger and let us do the administrative work. Welcome to shootingclasses.com.
He's no Einstein, but he can read and write and feed himself just like a big boy. Welcome back to the Home Defense Show with Skip Coriel.
And that was the beautiful and sultry voice of Golden Glenn, the official announcer of the Home Defense Show, and I'm your host, Skip Coriel. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, United States Concealed Carry Association, ShootingClasses.com, and CenterShot Indoor Gun Range for all your training and equipment needs. And now it's time for our weekly self-defense report, sponsored by ShootingClasses.com. And today we're speaking with firearms instructor Rod Yoder from the great state of Ohio. Rod, welcome to the Home Defense Show.
Thank you, Skip, for having me. It's a truly an honor for me to be here with you.
I would be derelict in my duties if I didn't welcome you by saying, go Buckeyes. Is that correct?
Exactly. Go Buckeyes.
Okay. Of course, living in the state of Michigan, that can get me extradited real fast. But spend about 30 seconds telling us about your training background.
We do some concealed carry classes through the USCCA, also the NRA. We also do some defensive pistol classes. That's kind of the lion's share of our class work is defensive pistol, but we also work with some church teams.
That sounds great, Rod. Let's dive right into the self-defense scenario today. The headline to our article today is Ohio woman may face charges after shooting carjacker. And this is something that happened in Columbus, Ohio. On May 1st, a woman was sitting alone in her car parked in the 1400 block of Oakland Park Avenue in Columbus. It was around 9:30 p.m. when a man who she did not know approached her vehicle. He was brandishing a handgun. He demanded that she get out of her car, and the young 20-year-old complied. The man got into her vehicle and apparently was intending to drive away. However, according to reports, before the armed suspect hit the gas, he pointed his handgun at the woman. It was at this point the woman believed that the suspect posed an imminent deadly threat. She drew her handgun, then fired into the vehicle at the armed carjacker. The violent criminal was struck by the woman's gunfire and died at the hospital. Not a lot of details, but what are your initial thoughts on this particular incident, Rod?
Well, I think there's two things here we kind of need to unpack a little bit. First is the use of force. I mean, it looks like, according to the report, that she was justified. He was an armed carjacker, pointed the gun at her, and she felt that she was in immediate danger of her life or bodily injury. So on the surface, and we know the devil's in the details, right? But according to this report anyway, it looks like she might get a pass on the use of force. We don't really know at this point what the proximity was. So was she in the car, out of the car? Was he driving away? Things like that. There was some justification for use of force.
Yeah, I think so, too. When you talk about a carjacking with just the details that we have in this particular article. Now, she was 20 years old. What is the age in Ohio to be able to carry a concealed handgun?
In Ohio, you must be 21 years of age. At this time, you would have had to have a permit to carry concealed. And now we don't have to have a permit. We have constitutional carry. But you still have to be 21 years of age to carry concealed in the state of Ohio.
And this incident occurred in 2021, and she was 20. So at that time, she was carrying illegal, so she could face felony firearms charges. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I think that's correct. She wouldn't have qualified for a permit just based on her age. I'm also wondering if maybe there were some other disqualifications she might have had besides the age thing. You know, we don't know why she had the gun. Maybe she had a boyfriend that was stalking her. Maybe she had an estranged husband or somebody that was stalking her. We don't know exactly why at this point she had the gun. She could have had some prior disqualifications. Maybe she had other legal issues. Yet. Maybe drugs or domestic violence or something of that nature that may have precluded her from having the gun in the first place. We just don't know.
This is Skip Coriel, and you're listening to the Self-Defense Report, sponsored by ShootingClasses.com, as we discuss self-defense with Rod Yoder from the great state of Ohio. Now, Rod, I did some additional research on this, and I didn't give this information to you, but let me just give you some additional information, and you tell me if that changes your perception of what happened here.
Sure.
The woman's 20 years old. This was in 2021. I thought it odd that a 20-year-old woman would be out in public in a rather seedy neighborhood just by herself at night, just sitting there. But as it turns out, she was buying drugs. There was another person in the car with her, and that was the other witness that the police were alluding to. So it was a drug deal gone bad. Plus, she also was facing drug charges from about 4 months prior to that. Does that change the justified use of deadly force in your mind?
Yeah, I think that's now a horse of a different color. She's no longer the innocent party. She's involved with this situation. She's doing something illegal. She's in an illegal act, which would now prevent her from using the self-defense claim. So I think now, as far as the use of force claim, I don't think she's going to make that team.
Yeah, right. I think you're right. And let's face it, all of us, you know, concealed carry holders, we're kind of a tight-knit group, and we pride ourselves on remaining law-abiding citizens, right? I mean, I'm sure in your classes, you drill that into all of your students, just like I do, that, hey, you got to follow the law, you have to remain above reproach, and you got to use really good judgment and all of that stuff. What is your thought on, you know, a young woman sitting in a car out in public at night? Wise or unwise thing to do?
Not very smart. In this part of town, I think, was known for those kind of activities. So I think she was asking really for trouble to be at that time of night in that part of town. As you say, we all have to follow the law. You know, we're all in favor of the Second Amendment. We're all in favor of people defending themselves with firearms. We have to do that within the law.
Yeah.
You know, I went out last weekend and we went out to dinner and I carried my firearm. We're not allowed to consume alcohol here in Ohio if we're carrying a firearm. So I did not consume alcohol. And then we went to a venue for a concert, which that venue was restricted firearm use. So I had to leave my firearm in my car. So you have to kind of, you know, navigate between the laws to keep yourself legal.
Well, I believe now there are 29 constitutional carry states. And when did Ohio add their constitutional carry law? It was fairly recent, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe it was last June of 2022, I believe, is when it came into effect.
Well, congratulations on that. Here in Michigan, we have a terrible governor and a terrible legislature right now. We're not going to get that for at least a couple of years till we get some new politicians in there. But I'm happy for the Buckeye State. I'm glad you guys got it, Rod.
Yeah, we did. And there's a double-edged sword, I believe, also. Although, you know, I think the concealed carry process was kind of a check and balance for people that maybe aren't allowed to carry firearms. I've had people call me, hey, I want to take your concealed carry class, but I'm just not sure if I'm allowed to carry a gun or not. You know, I had that marijuana arrest when I was 18, or I had that domestic situation several years ago. I'm not sure if I can carry one. So I think what's going to happen is we're going to see people jammed up. They get pulled over for maybe a traffic violation, and then they realize they can't have a gun. So I think that's kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah, and that's one of the challenges of constitutional carry. I guess I'm a little ambivalent about it. I'm an activist. I'm a Second Amendment activist. I believe strongly in the Constitution. So we have the right to keep and bear arms. So, yeah, unless you're a felon or crazy as an outhouse bat, then, yeah, go ahead and do it. But I'm also an instructor. So it's like, I want people to take the training, and so I'm just always harping on that. Yeah, I'm all for constitutional carry, but you need to get trained. At least find out what the laws are, And not everybody does that in constitutional carry states. So I just want to take that this time right now. You people in Ohio, you have constitutional carry, but you have the responsibility to find out what your laws are so that you don't get in trouble.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I've actually had people now send for classes that are going to carry constitutionally, but they want to know what the laws are. So that's a good thing.
You know what? Maybe, Rod, you could give a class just on the laws, maybe a 2-3 hour class. That would probably be helpful. But Rod, we're out of time for this segment. But before you go, will you just tell us where people can go to find out more about the training that you offer there in Ohio?
They can go to shootingclasses.com/McFadden Firearms.
All right, Rod, yes. That sounds good. Rod, I want to thank you for being on Home Defense Show today. It's been fantastic.
Thank you so much, Skip.
Okay, folks, this is Skip Coriel on the Home Defense Show, and that about wraps it up for this week's show. Please don't forget to thank our sponsors, Centershot Indoor Gun Range at centershotgunrange.com, shootingclasses.com to help you find the right trainer for your needs, and the United States Concealed Carry Association. For all your self-defense needs, go to uscca.com. I've written 20-plus books, and they're all available on Amazon.com in paperback, ebook, and audiobook. This week, check out one of my nonfiction books. It's titled Concealed Carry for Christians. It's all about moral use of deadly force. I think you'll like it. Please join us again next week for all your home defense needs. In the meantime, God bless and stay safe.
Thank you for joining us this week on The Home Defense Show. Now, get out there and protect the ones you love. We'll see you next week with more of the best.
Bye-bye, boys!
Have fun storming the castle!